Well, we spent a couple of months or so in the book of Psalms, and I hope that it was enough to get you interested to go back and look again at the book of Psalms and fall in love with those prayers, their hymns, it's just good stuff in there. But take it slow and easy. You know, it's just like any other thing with the Bible. We try to gorge it down. We just stuff as much of it in and we don't take the time to truly enjoy it, savor it. And if you will do that with the Psalms, I promise you, you will come away with a different point of view on them. But we're going to start another series here for the month of September, and I'm not going to tell you what, and not at least for just a minute or two, and then we'll get into it. It happened in Galilee. 2,000 years ago, it was a sunny day, and 11 men were walking up the road together. Can you picture it? Picture it. They left Jerusalem a day or two earlier. 11 men now. One of them dead and gone, buried or perhaps not. They left Jerusalem by way of that winding, treacherous mountain road up to Jericho. Past Jericho, across the Jordan River, and north toward Galilee. This was after the death of Jesus Christ and after his resurrection. It had been a week now since that fateful weekend. These 11 men were going back home. For they were Galileans, James, John, Peter, Bartholomew, Simon the Zealot, Matthew, and others. They were men of Galilee. From those little fishing towns that dotted the shore of the Sea of Galilee, from Nazareth and Capernaum, Bethsaida, and from the coast of the Mediterranean. They were fishermen and they were farmers. They were tax collectors. They were learned and some were unlettered. They had been chosen by Jesus Christ to be his disciples. And now he had risen from the dead. When he saw them in Jerusalem, he said to them, "Meet me on the mountain. Meet me on the mountain in Galilee." The mountain where Jesus had always met his disciples during those 3 years. Then Jesus vanished. He vanished, and now they made the journey, walking through the hot Palestinian sand in late April. It was hot, not summertime hot, but hot enough to make a man sweat after a few minutes of being out there in the sun. Not a cloud in the sky. And as they walked, they argued. I'm sure of that, because they always argued when they were together, discussing what had happened, who had stayed the longest, who had been the first to desert. Then around the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee they came, 11 men, excited and wondering, why would Jesus want to meet them on this mountain? The mountain they came to, it's not really a big place, by the way. It's more like a foothill, like a little hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Climbing up to the top of the hill and looking around, Jesus was nowhere to be found. And then suddenly, just like that, there he was. They turned and seeing him, they bowed down and they worshiped him. And when Jesus saw them, he said something to them, something which would change the course of their lives forever. He said to them the words which have come down to you and I as the Magna Carta of the Christian church. For 2,000 years, the words that Jesus said to his disciples that day had been read and memorized and pondered and applied and obeyed and discussed by Christians everywhere. Every group, every organization and denomination. Because what Jesus said to his disciples that day was perhaps the most important thing he ever said to them. This is the story of the famous last words of Jesus Christ. It is the words called the Great Commission, and justly so. Because you see, the words that Jesus spoke, The words that he spoke that day were the foundation and the blueprint for the movement that his followers were going to establish, for the movement they were going to establish after he was gone. The Great Commission. These are not just the final words of Jesus before his ascension. They are marching orders for his church. And church, last words matter. They carry urgency. They carry weight. They carry a deep purpose about them. Well, listen, Jesus didn't leave us with a suggestion. He left us with a command, a global calling, a divine mandate. And it wasn't just for the apostles, by the way. It was for every believer in every generation in every corner of the world. Now, I'm going to read you something this morning, and I'm not going to tell you where it's from, at least not right away. I will in a moment. But I'm going to read you something. I want you to listen to the words. Everybody stop what you're doing. You don't need to look at your Bibles or your telephone or any of that. I want you to listen. If you want to close your eyes and listen, that's fine. Just don't go to sleep. Here we go. Loving God, sharing Christ, serving others. Jesus commissioned his church, make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Matthew 28:18-19. Existing to lead people into a life-changing, ever-growing personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Doing this by loving God and sharing Christ and serving others. The strategy? Oh, the strategy is easy. Worship, grow, serve. This strategy focuses on reaching people for Christ and developing devoted, loving followers of Jesus. God uses worship services and small groups and ministry involvement to move people from salvation to spiritual maturity and ministry. Oh, newcomers and members to come and worship God and to connect with others and to become involved in Christian service. Why? That to build devoted, loving Christian followers and doing it in strategic ways. Worship service. Worship service enables us to connect with our Creator, who alone can save and transform. Through worship, we express our praise and love for God strategically through growth groups, Sunday school classes, Bible studies. Other small groups allow us to connect with other Christians and deepen our relationship with God. These groups provide opportunities for folks to build loving, life-changing relationships. Small groups help us grow spiritually through prayer, Bible study, Christian fellowship, strategically through Christian service, ministry teams, mission projects, and other avenues of Christian service open doors to Jesus Christ, serving God and others inside and outside the church. Why, it helps individuals discover, develop, and utilize their God-given gifts for ministry. God gives every Christian a ministry, a part of his work to do in the church and in the world, end quote. That sounds good, doesn't it? Y'all like that? Anybody know what it is? Johnny? That is the vision of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. It is who we say we are and what we exist for. Now, I did not create that document. I want you to know that. It was written several years ago. And it was adopted by the body of this church. In other words, we, the church, wrote it. We, the church, agreed to it. Anybody ever seen that? Has anybody seen that? Yeah. If you've got a drink of water here lately, that's Southern, ain't it? Drink of water. Drink of liquor. If you've gotten a drink of water out of the water fountain lately, you've seen it hanging there on the bulletin board. It's been there for 2 months. If you happen to have one of these things called a bulletin in your pocket, and if you'll look, you'll see part of it's on the bottom of one of the pages. has been for about 2 months now. It's who we say we are, church. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at this statement, and we're going to seek to remember just what we are called to do. We're going to look at loving God next week. Week after that, sharing Christ. Week after that, serving others. But this morning, I want us to lean in, and I want us to listen. But I want us to listen not with our ears. We do enough of that throughout the day. We hear enough stuff. I want us to lean in and listen with our hearts. I want us to, because the Great Commission is not just something to memorize. It's something that is to be lived. Jesus commissioned his church, make disciples of all people, baptizing them and teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. So let's walk through this today. Verse 18. Jesus is speaking, red letters in the Bible. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. If you are one that writes in your Bible, underline the word all. Because Jesus tells us to go. He tells us why we can go. He begins with a declaration of power. All authority has been given to him. Not some authority, not just a spiritual authority, not just authority over the church. Jesus has full dominion over heaven and earth, over nations and kings, and over time and eternity. This is the foundation of our mission, church. We don't go into the world with our own credentials. Oh, I'm a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. That gives me credentials to go into the world and do something. No, it doesn't. Oh, well, I'm a resident of Botetourt County. That gives me, no, it doesn't. We have the authority, we have the credentials because he has the authority, and we're under him. All authority's been given to him. And so we go under the authority of the King of Kings. Think of it this way for a moment. Think of an ambassador. I thought of Mike Huckabee. Governor Huckabee, Reverend Mike Huckabee, Southern Baptist minister, is now the ambassador for the United States to Israel. Now he goes there under the authority of the United States. Okay? So when the ambassadors speak, their words carry weight, not just because of who they are, Mike Huckabee, pastor, you know, and no. His words carry weight because of who he represents. And likewise, when we share the gospel, we do so as representatives of Christ, backed by his full authority. This means that we don't have to be afraid, church. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be uncertain. We go with confidence because the one who sends us is sovereign over all. Are we living with the confidence that Jesus is in control? Well, I don't know, preacher. Some days yes, some days no. But it's to be all times because he's in control, all authority, all times. And do we trust that? Do we trust that his authority is sufficient? I mean, is it really sufficient enough to supply us, to empower us, to cause us to be obedient? Well, let me remind you once again, if Jesus has all authority, then nothing, everybody say nothing. Nothing is outside of his reach, not our fears, not our failures, and not our future. Everything is under his authority. Point number two this morning, verse 19 tells us, to go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Action. Actions speak louder than words, is what my daddy used to tell me. Well, daddy, I'm going to do this. Action speaks louder than words. Daddy, I'm going to stop doing that. Actions speak louder than words. So now we're told, we've been given the words, now he's telling us, go. We're being told to go and do something, go therefore. Now this is not passive faith, by the way. This is not sitting around just waiting on Jesus to come back, you know, twiddling our thumbs going, he's not. No, this is active, get up and go and do something, faith. It's a mission, it's a mobilization. But going is not the end goal. No, the goal is to make disciples once you go. You're to do something when you get there. And not just converts, not just church attenders, not just sideline spectators, cheerleaders. No. But followers of Jesus, people who learn, grow, and obey. And in case you may be wondering the question, okay, so who am I supposed to go to? Who am I supposed to reach out to? All nations. The gospel's not bound by borders. It's not limited to one ethnicity or one language or one culture. It's for everyone. Or as I like to say sometimes, Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. In fact, in Acts 1:8, Jesus would tell us, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, wherever that is. And so that means that the gospel must go global, and it starts right here, right now, with you and I. Now, you may not be called to go overseas, but you are called to go across the street. You may not be a missionary in Africa, but you can be a missionary in your neighborhood. Where's God calling you to go? Is he calling you to go across the street or across the ocean? Who are you discipling right now? Every believer should be a disciple maker. Who are you discipling? And let's not forget that this mission is personal. If you're a follower of Jesus, and I'm guessing that all of us in this room fit into that category as followers of Jesus, then you're called to go and you're called to make disciples, because that's what the directions just said. Point number three, and we'll begin to turn for home this morning. Baptize, teach. Second part of verse 19 says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism. There's a subject that gets a lot of ink spilt over it. Baptism is more than just a ceremony. It's a declaration, church. It's a symbol of a new life, a new identity, and a new allegiance. When somebody's baptized, they're publicly saying, I now belong to Jesus. And we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One name, one God, three persons. It's the mystery and the majesty of the Trinity. But Jesus doesn't stop at baptism, church. He says we must teach them to observe all that he has commanded. That's all means what, church? All, yeah, means all. Think of it like parenting. We got a lot of parents in here, parents at different ages and stages, great-grandchildren down to newborns. Think of it like parenting. You don't stop caring for your children after they're born, do you? No. Sandra and I can definitely attest to that. We don't stop caring for our children. You nurture them, you guide them, you teach them. And likewise, new believers need spiritual parents. New believers need spiritual parents. People who will walk with them and teach them and help them grow. Come along and put your arm around them and say, hey, let's walk this path together. Help them to grow. Are you helping somebody grow? Are you helping others grow in their walk with the Lord? What are you doing? Are you discipling, teaching, preaching? Are you teaching the next generation? Listen to me. Are you teaching the next generation to obey God? I hope so, because my prayer has been lately that God will raise up an army of soldiers whose main mission is to do one thing and one thing only, and their mission is to take the gospel into the outreaches of the world, the farthest reaches. I read a statistic the other day that was so encouraging to me. I meant to tell Erica about this, and I forgot to tell her about it. For the first time in years, the Generation Xers, the first two that came along after the new millennium, their numbers have exceeded in attendance the numbers of baby boomers attending church. Now, that sounds good until you really think about it for a moment. You think, hey man, more young people are coming to church. Good, I love it. Baby boomers were dying. We're aging out. So there's a flip side to that coin. How many of us want to see this church die? Raise your hand if you're here today and you hope that Pleasant Hill Baptist Church dies within the next, I don't care however long you want it to be. Raise your hand. Go ahead. Yeah, me neither. We can't make people come to church. I've told you it's against law. Kidnapping is against law. You cannot go out there and grab them and lock them and bring them, drag them in here. But are you asking anybody to come to church? Are you discipling with somebody? Are you talking to people about the Lord? Do you like your church? Do you like being here among the fellowship of it? Do you like the singing and the music? Do you like the preacher? If you do, then why is this place not full? Go into all the world teaching them what he has taught us, sharing the gospel. Listen, church, discipleship is more than information. It's transformation. It's not just about knowing the word, it's about living it. I hope today that when you leave from here, the takeaway will be this: that number one, Jesus has all authority. You can trust him. Number two, you are called to go and make disciples. No exceptions. There is no little asterisk that you read down at the bottom. It says, yes, but these people are exempted. Not there. And number three, we, the church, are empowered to do this. We're empowered to baptize and teach. We've been given this by the Spirit of God. Listen, the Great Commission, it's not optional. It's our purpose. It's our calling. Now, you may not be called, like I said, to go everywhere. You may not be called to go overseas, but you are called to go somewhere. You may not preach on this platform, but your life is preaching every day. Let me say that again. You may not be called to preach from a pulpit, but your life is preaching something every day. What message are you preaching? What message are you carrying to people? Two questions this morning. Will you obey the call? You've been called. This is not the gospel according to Danny. This is the gospel according to Jesus Christ. It's God's holy word, and it tells us that we've got to do something. So will you obey the call? Will you go under Christ's authority into the world and make disciples for his glory? Let us not be a church that simply knows the Great Commission. Let us be a church that lives it boldly, faithfully, and globally. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, you've called us to do something. You've called us to take your words to the farthest reaches of the world. Forgive us for not being obedient. But now I ask that you would give us the courage, the confidence, the strength, the determination to share that gospel message. Maybe it's with someone we work with, someone we live with, someone within our own family. Maybe we're called to go on a mission trip. Maybe we're called to lead a Sunday school class or teach a Bible class. But whatever it is, please rise up, raise up within us the courage and the determination to do it. And forgive us for not being obedient. Your Son, Christ Jesus, gave us a great commission. He gave us marching orders as He left this earth. And He said, I will be with you even to the end of the times. And oh God, we're so thankful for that truth. The truth that your Son Jesus Christ lived, died, and lives again and will be with us forever and ever. Amen. We are so thankful for that. But yet, Lord, if there be one here today or one who hears this message somehow, some way, somewhere, Holy Spirit, stir their soul to unrest, causing them to cry out for relief. This we pray, this we ask this morning in the most powerful and holy name of Christ Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen.